the most intense, thrilling, electrifying sport on the planet. Mixed Martial Arts. You've been looking for the definitive podcast to call your new home to hear everything about it. The search is over. This is the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. Bringing you the hottest MMA breakdown straight from the heart of the octagon. This show is all about MMA breakdowns. For fans, by fans. We're talking UFC, MMA, and the occasional big boxing match. We'll bring our unique take on how these fights are going to play out and who we think are the best bets. Welcome to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. And now your hosts, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and Emiliano, a.k.a. Jive Turkey Nano.
What is up, fight fans? Welcome back for another episode of the MMA Anomaly Show, No Filter. I'm your host, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly. And with me, as usual, is the host with the most, Jive Turkey Nano. How we doing, brother?
Let's go. We're doing great, brother. Fully healthy, fully recharged, rejuvenated. We had a bunch of knockouts on Saturday. Celebrated my birthday. Your boy's approaching 30 in style. Had to kick it back in the 90s. But hey, man, kicking it old school and mixing in with some new school, some new blood on the block here, UFC related. I'm excited, brother. Great to see you, man. How's old things on your end?
You'll get zero complaints from me, my guy. It was a beautiful fight card. Top to bottom, bottom to top, left to right. Either way you slice it, it was nice. And on top of that, I mean, something I don't usually prevail in, I excelled in this weekend. I won not one, but both of my fantasy football games this weekend. So
let's go. You know gotta love it, baby. Gotta love it. Boom. Crunch time. Let's go.
Getting exciting, man. Getting exciting. Feeling good. And honestly, excited as hell to break down this card. Not only how exciting the fight card itself was, but also what we think should be next for some of the biggest winners and possibly losers of this card, depending on how deep you want to go, brother. So with that being said, first and foremost, very, very happy to have you back, my friend. Glad to see that you're still sipping on the sangria, you know, living it up Spain style. And man, absolutely, man, glad you guys had a good time on the honeymoon.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Love is still in the air. You know, it was a great time. Spain's a beautiful place, beautiful country. Got to see Ilya, you know, defend his title there in Spain. Felt a little bit of the juice. Some of the local buzz, certainly a fan favorite. But yeah, brother, I'm excited to be back, man. Back to reality and no rest for the wicked here, brother. We got some big cards, some big fights to break down here with a lot of implications, as I like to say.
Oh, it's back. There he is. Implications, he says. Back in true turkey fashion, folks. All right, let's go ahead and jump into this card. So we had a women's bantamweight bout between Melissa Dixon, a.k.a. Melissa Mullins, coming in against Claudia Sigula. Look, I'll keep it short and sweet as the fight was itself. She gets the finish via TKO in round number 2, 1 minute and 20 seconds in, does Melissa Mullins. It was a tough scene to watch if you watch the social media clips that Claudia Sigula posted. Crying, upset, just honestly distraught and devastated from the knockout that happened. But it's tough, you know. She was basically apologizing, not just for letting herself down, but for letting all of the people that believed in her, all the people that have supported her up until this point of the journey, for letting these people down. She truly felt like she came up short, and that it was a huge misstep in not only her career but also just the support system. So. It felt bad to watch, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Melissa Mullins, who did go out there and look pretty damn good, in my opinion. I can't tell you that I thought she was going to go out there and get it done that quick. But I mean, no mess Mullins. They should call her no fuss, no muss Mullins, because no fuss, no muss for her on Saturday. Nano, what surprised you, if anything, about this?
Yeah, brother. I mean, great intro. Thank you for leaving some meat on the bones here. I think the big takeaway, or I don't know if I was necessarily surprised, but certainly was taken back by how absolutely dominant, how absolutely strong and big Melissa Mullins looked out there. Claudia Sigula was certainly throwing her variety of strikes, which we expected, and threw just about everything but the kitchen sink at her, but nothing was going to faze Melissa No Mess Mole. She was going to take no mess in that octagon. But I certainly was just surprised how how dominant she looked. Strong. She's much bigger than Sigula. It's crazy to think that they're the same weight class. I did not see her Instagram. That's news to me. And, man, I mean, I chuckle because you hate to see it. I mean, I can appreciate someone going out on their shield, and heck, I'd probably be a little bit emotional as well, crying or angry or all the above after a loss or after feeling like I, you know, let you down. But hey, you can appreciate the humility. I hope she bounces back. You know, maybe that's the release maybe you need sometimes, and hopefully she can get back in the winner's column. Certainly has the look, showed some really great strikes, but again, just simply outclassed Melissa Mullen. She was coming off a loss. She knew that she had a lot at stake. And boy, did she just really put her name right in the hat with all of these other up-and-comers in this division. All of a sudden, a lot of new names, a lot of new faces, people that are getting on these win streaks and looking to get into the top 15, a lot of movement. You love to see it, obviously, since Amanda Nunes is gone. And you look at the top of this division with who's champ currently. You know, not, Kayla Harrison's now in town, right? I think all to say... someone like a No Mess Mullins, I don't know if I want to throw her into the Wolves den just yet, although certainly, if not right now, maybe a win away. But I'm looking at that top 15 to 20 range, and anyone else that's coming off a win, maybe like a Jocelyn Edwards or, heck, I mean, Jacqueline the Nightmare Cavalcanti is ranked, but that's probably as far up as I think we can send No Mess Mullins potentially here. She proved to be that dominant, in my opinion. But what are your thoughts, brother? I mean, anything else? Is that too bullish? Do you think she's ready for that top 15? Or did she prove enough to you on Saturday? Or do you need to see a little bit more?
No, man. I mean, as always, great, great color commentary there on your end and great breakdown. I do think she's ready for a top 15 opponent. I think it'd be a great test for her. And the way that she, I mean, for lack of better words, she went out there and kind of ran through the competition, right? Like, doubled up on the strikes, tripled up on the significant strikes landed, and got 2 of 3 takedowns, as you stated, over the 0-3 takedown attempts for Claudia Sigula. I mean, as far as who specifically should be next for her, I mean, it's tough to say, but, and I am saying but for a number of reasons, Aileen Perez would be a fun fight in the top 15 for her. Now do you understand why I was saying but so much?
That is get the loads ready. That would be quite a
fun matchup.
Quite a fun one, yes. You could certainly talk that one up. Yeah.
I think it'd be a good
one. Sign me up. I like it, brother.
Sign me up. And thanks to all of you guys watching so far. We are very early in the show, and we appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. A lot of you are tuning in on Twitter. If you don't mind, if you could just jump over to YouTube at MMA Anomaly and just hit that like, subscribe, comment. It really, really helps, folks. Now, moving forward, we had a middleweight bout between Trayshawn Gore coming back after quite a bit of a layoff against Antonio Dracoli, a.k.a. Mackenzie Dern's boyfriend. Mackenzie Dern's boyfriend got embarrassed out there. He got just stood and subbed. I'm not even going to start this one off. I'm going to let Nano take a sip of that sangria and then spill some tea for us.
I will, brother. I will. I'm not going to spill that sangria. It's too gosh darn good. Shout out Costco. As always, Kirkland never misses. But man, what an absolute just dominant performance here by Trayshawn Gore. Certainly, I thought Antonio Dracoli was going to come in, maybe pose a little bit more of a threat, big boy. But as soon as he shot in for that takedown up against the fence, Trayshawn Gore, well, frankly, saw an opportunity and stroke while the iron was hot, right? He absolutely capitalized, got the choke in pretty early on the neck. And then what I noticed in rewatching it the second time, I thought Trayshawn did a really good job of getting off the fence, controlling Antonio, getting him in the middle, and he sort of readjusted or had an explosive movement to kind of readjust and look like it was almost cranking it into a deeper position there. a non-grappler speaking, so please forgive me for the lack of proper explanations. If you're listening in the chats here, let us know if you had any additional commentary around what you noticed in that finish there. And I'll dish it over to you, my brother, but that was a big thing that I noticed, cranking it 90s style here, early 2000s. Shout out Soulja Boy, cranking that thing. Watch me. You. That was my dance move all weekend. So appreciate the relevance there, my bro. But yeah, man, I think, hell of a performance. All right, we can be quick with it. You only needed a minute to get it done. But did anything else stand out to you? Did we see enough here from Trayshawn Gore? He had a good call out, good little message at the end of his speech as well, you know, motivational. Do you think he's ready to take another step up here in the middleweight division? Or, again, any big takeaways from this one? It was quick, but boy, was it decisive.
Great breakdown, as always, my guy. It was quick and it was decisive. It was as one-way traffic gets, I think. So, he comes out there, he lands 5 of 5 strikes thrown, 3 of 3 significant strikes thrown, and gets one takedown, but then ultimately gets a nasty standing guillotine choke over his opponent in Antonio Tricoli. Absolutely stunning win for him. I thought this is going to be the case. I didn't think he was going to go out there and get a sub like that, I'll be honest with you. I thought he was going to go out there and get a fairly dominant win. I thought he'd be able to out-wrestle him and just out-muscle him because he's a very dominant figure. And I also thought he'd be live for a knockout, if I'm being real. But very impressive stuff for him. The layoff is a son of a bitch. He still has under 10 professional fights in mixed martial arts. He's still a kid in the sport in every facet of the word. But I am excited to see what's next for the kid here. In the middleweight division, there's a number of different options for this man to fight. Do I think he's ready to fight anybody in the top 15, Nano? I don't necessarily think so. Paulo Costa, Jack Hermanson, who I'll talk about later in one of the other fights, Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, Shara Bullet, Magomedov, and Michelle Pereira. I don't think he's ready for any of those guys yet, if I'm being honest with you. What did you think of the call out, and who do you think should be next for Trayshawn Gore?
Who did he call out specifically? I don't think I'm ever hearing a name. Did he mention anyone specifically?
I didn't hear anybody in the octagon. He may have mentioned names outside at the post fight presser.
That is a good call. You know, and it's one of those things. If you go in there and you get a decisive win like that, I'm all for you granting their wish. If I'm the brass tax making those decisions there, I say, hey, grant him whatever wish he wants. If it's, you know, within reason, if he called out the champ, I'd say, okay, slow your roll a little bit. But to your point, I mean, man, this division is just a murderer's row, and there's the Grim Reaper knocking on those doors waiting to get in line as well. Like, there's a lot of dudes that aren't even ranked yet, a Bo Nickel, for example. Not that I'm saying he should fight him, although, hey, could be a fun one. But given the current landscape,
He did make a call out. It was Bo Nickel.
And he didn't want to rebook that, huh? I was saying, maybe that's why my brain went to that part there, was maybe because they were supposed to fight. They did not. He mentioned it here. Are you flexing on me right now? Look at you, big boy. Let's go. Sorry, I digress. Ladies, get on the... If you're listening audio-wise, you got to get on the visual here. You got to get the video going here, my guy. It's trapping
you
out here,
you can get
here,
it one day early on our OnlyFans. No, I'm just kidding.
Hello. Please let us know if that is we will go where the fans want us.
No,
so
no,
let
no,
us know.
No.
Don't entertain it.
Don't open that can of worms, brother. We're not doing that.
Again, can I have a ring to an MMA Nomaly fans? I digress. Back on track here. But no, hey, Bo Nickel, that's a fair call out. I mean, Bo's probably looking to get back in there. They were supposed to fight. Why not run it back? He's coming off a win, a little bit more heat behind it now. Sometimes timing makes it all, right? I mean, hey, well, yeah, why not? Easy peasy.
I mean, that's assuming Bo Nickel gets past Paul Craig on Saturday.
Ooh, that's a fair point.
That is coming up. That is coming up in just 5 short days, folks.
that doesn't really plan well for Trayshawn, does it?
I mean, it might. It might. If Bo gets past him pretty quickly, it's two guys coming off quick finishes, 7 days apart from one another. I mean, if anything, I think that adds just a little bit more salt to the sizzle, brother. Shout out S-Dogs MMA Talk. The guy, the man, the myth, the legend, Sterling. Speaking of fights, this man has a fight on fucking, what is it? Was it Friday?
Let's go.
Let's go, brother. It's a Muay Thai fight, so you already know he's going to be out there. And he deserves all the air horns. This dude's a fucking beast.
He's going to channel some of that Carlos Prates trauma over there. Send it your way, my brother. Go get him. Give him hell.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Wear the nerd glasses, bro. It's like +5 charisma and +10 intelligence. For sure. And I mean, this dude's going through it. He's still got about pounds to cut right now. So, you know.
Attaboy.
Can't leak any info for the opponent, you know?
Attaboy. True professional. Expected nothing less.
But yeah, he's going through the weight cut right now. He's getting ready for that fight on Friday. So shout out S-Dogs. And hope the dog gets the win on Friday.
So, let's go, baby. Dog's barking in the backyard. Forward, man.
Dog's barking in the backyard. There he is. Now, this next one I was wrong on. I was absolutely wrong. I did pick a dog here. And I was wrong. I picked Cody Stamann. We actually, again, shout out S-Dogs MMA Talk. I was in his stream, and we were talking with Dre Miley. You can give that guy a follow. I believe his ad off the top of my head is at Miley underscore Dre 135. Give that guy a follow. He actually has a fight coming up in Atlanta, Georgia, and he'll be posting info about that on his Twitter. But the reason I'm bringing the kid up, Dre Miley, the one-eyed dragon of Bellator, is because he tried to tell me, actually. He tried to walk me off the ledge. He actually tried to walk me and S-Dogs off the ledge here on the Cody Stamann bus, but I wasn't having it. I thought Cody Stamann's grappling was going to be able to negate the ultimately jiu-jitsu threat of Damon Blackshear, but boy, was I wrong. Because Damon went out there, and not only did he get done, he got it done in impressively quick fashion. We're talking just 4 minutes and 19 seconds into the fight against a very durable Cody the Spartan Stamann. Got it done via rear naked choke. Again, made it look very easy, made it look very technical and textbook. And with that, I do my first shot of the episode. Nano, give us your thoughts.
I did do a little chug of sangria, but I'll certainly do another one with you, my brother, because I, too, was on the same side as you, riding the dog, the Spartan, Cody Stamann, and unfortunately, like the Spartans did against the Persian Empire, they certainly fought a hard fight, but did not come out victorious, right? They may not have won the battle, and really, I don't think they won the war either, but they're legendary and went out on their shield, and that's all you could ask, but to be honest with you, Damon, the monster, had a monster-like performance here in Spirit of Halloween recently. Boy, what an absolute savage. I think the thing that surprised me, again, we talked about the submission game. We talked about, yeah, he had some knockouts, but I wasn't really too concerned there. I thought, and it is sangria, as though, if you're wondering. It may look like wine, but it is, I like to think it's healthy wine and maybe a little bit more, I don't know, spirit, I don't even know, organic or earthy, you know, just, I like to think it's healthier. I mean, out in Spain, they did have fruit in it, so I was like, oh, getting my daily dose. So that's my logic, and I'm sticking to it.
And with that being said, as he raises his glass of sangria and I raise my shot of whiskey, folks, if you're drinking, take a sip with us. If not, take a sip of water, or maybe just, you know, think happy thoughts as we do it for you. We hope you're having a great night. You could be anywhere, and we're happy you're here with us.
Salute.
Cheers, folks.
Oh, that's yummy. And yeah, man, I mean, absolutely explosive knee. I mean, it was a holy shit moment, as Dana White coined. And man, had me on the edge of my seat, shocked. But again, that's what he does, right? I mean, I guess that's maybe what we can expect moving forward from someone like the monster coming in here. You know he has a ground game if he needs to go there, but what he did display is some explosive hands. I mean, that knee absolutely rocked Cody, and the finishing sequence was just the nail in the coffin, and it earned him the $50K, well deserved. Unfortunately, you know, the price we had to pay, you know, cost us everything as MMA fans, and coming off a Max Holloway loss, a Robert Whittaker loss. I want to see these old guys win, man. I wanted the underdog to come out victorious like Rocky. But that was not the case here. Damon is certainly someone that's trending in the right direction. And I do think after something like that, I mean, again, bantamweight's stacked as well. So I don't know if he can necessarily skip a lot of the guys that are in front of him that are ready for a top 15er. But there are a lot of big names now that after beating a Cody Stamann, it certainly opens things up. I mean, a main event or I guess a main card. Certainly next for Damon, right? Sky's the limit for him, though. We have a new champion in this division with Merab Dvalishvili. And this guy brings a very unique style. So I'm curious to hear your breakdown. I don't necessarily have a name, but I don't want to climb too far up. I mean, you know, I'm looking at a Peyton Talbot who has an upcoming bout, but it's like I don't think you can necessarily climb too much farther in front of him. But you do got to give him someone else that's winning. I do see a name here. Maybe a Taylor Double Impact Lopolis sitting around that 20 spot. Another good striker.
I'm not mad about it.
I think that might be the move. What are your thoughts, brother?
I do have another name on the tip of my tongue, if I'm being honest with you. When it comes to Young Blackshear, I can't help but think he'd match up really, really fun way against Ayman Zahabi, who just fought a week ago, looked really fucking impressive. Trajectory-wise, he was not ranked a week ago. He is now ranked number 14 in the bantamweight division. Good chance for Blackshear to break into those top 15 rankings for bantamweight. And a hell of a test for him.
That is a good one. I mean, Zahabi, obviously the name, if you might recognize it, is was it brother, I believe? Was he the coach for George St. Pierre? Long time.
Yep. It's his big brother.
It's big bro. So certainly going to be well trained.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm looking up more information here on Damon, seeing if he called anyone out. But he says he's been training with Michael Chandler. You love to see that. I mean, I think that's, you know, iron sharpening iron there, 100%. But he didn't really call anyone out. Nobody's really else is top of mind. So I do like Zahabi, and if not, hey, I'll settle with the Lopolis or, again, anyone in that kind of top 25 range. I think is a really good step up for him.
Yeah, I mean, make no mistake, I'm not mad at all about Double Impact Lopolis there. I think that's a fantastic fight for the boy. Now, what wasn't a fantastic fight for the boy was, if you're a Jedi fan, it was not a good day for Jedis, okay? I mean, the only thing that could have made this fight more demeaning for Matthew, the Jedi Semmelsberger, is if Charles Radke walked out to the fucking Imperial March, folks. But I digress. Hey, we have a hometown hero, a little local celebrity action here tonight, folks. We have Sav, the one, the only, in the chat, who made her debut today on the Ariel Helwani show. Make sure you check out that episode. And make sure that you purchase her hand-knitted goods. Are they crocheted? I'm so bad with when it comes to crafts. But either way, she makes really incredible fucking handcrafted fighters, and they're like the most adorable thing in the world. It's a fighter, but you could also give it to your small child, and they would think it's adorable. So, fantastic stuff. Make sure you drop her a follow. And, yeah, dude, I mean, Charles fucking Chuck Buffalo Radke. Now, I knew he was going to go out there. It's Crochet. I knew it was Crochet, son of a bitch. Look, I knew in my heart of hearts that Chuck Buffalo, Great White Buffalo, was going to go out there and get it done over the guy. The man, the myth, the legend, the semi, the Jedi himself, Matthew Semmelsberger. Matthew Semmelsberger is somebody that's had a very up and down career. I'll go ahead and take the lead on this one and then pass the baton to you real quick. We'll keep it short and sweet for this one. Semi the Jedi is someone who's had a very, very roller coaster like trajectory in the UFC. Very up and down, lots of twists and turns that you don't really expect or see coming. But for the most part, they're pretty exciting, right? As long as you're just riding the roller coaster and you're not, you know, the roller coaster that is Matthew the Semi the Jedi Semmelsberger. So this guy, Charles Radsky, is the complete opposite, right? He's come out here and you definitely wouldn't say he's had an up and down trajectory, because Carlos Freitas, you just delete that. It doesn't even matter because he's a fucking fighting nerd. He's out there drinking whiskey, smoking cigarettes, and just getting the fucking finish over everybody, right? So getting finished by him isn't the end of the world. It's also not the end all be all. And by the way, what happened after he got finished by him? He came out here and he fucking killed his next opponent, right? Matthew Semmelsberger in 51 seconds. 51 seconds, folks. Just nasty stuff. Barrage of punches firing off the cusp. It only took 7 punches, by the way, for him to end the Jedi. And the Jedi is typically pretty durable, in my experience. So, dude has impressive power and fucking awesome if your name is Carlos Freitas, because it just makes you look that much better. Nano, what surprised you about this fight, if anything, my guy?
Yeah, I thought the Jedi was going to be able to channel a little bit more of the Force, right? Although we were not taking that underdog. I told you all that the Chuck Buffalo is a force to be reckoned with. You never want to get in front of the track of a raging white buffalo, okay? And that's exactly what Charles Radke is. Yeah, man. And to be honest, to give Radke his flowers, he certainly earned a performance of the night, earned the 50K. He looks strong and powerful, but those punches, man, were no joke. They had a lot of steam behind them. Probably would put out most people. I mean, picture perfect accuracy, right? On the kind of jawline, face bone, cheekbone kind of area. The other thing, I guess, that was concerning was Semmelsberger's lights were kind of flickering off like that switch, or like when your iPhone charger is like kind of working but it's not, you have to like bend it certain ways and it's like going on, going off, you know, it's on then rebooting then back off again. Yeah, that was a little scary to see. Unfortunate. I think the referee got in there just in time. That was a downhill slope that our boy Semmelsberger was on, and Charles Radke was, again, the white buffalo, just rolling on downhill. All to say, hell of a performance. In terms of what's next for Chuck Buffalo, well, if you're asking the question, I think there is the answer. And I'm going to see if you might know who that is. I'm talking about Athemba, the answer, Garimbo, on a 4-fight win streak. KO in there as well. Ranked a little bit above Chuck Buffalo here in about the 35 spot, you know, mid-30 range. He just fought earlier this month, or October 12th, so about a month ago. Hey, man, stars can align. Maybe early next year, the answer against the Chuck Buffalo. What do you think, brother?
I mean, I love that for fantasy, for our fantasy MMA league. Shout out if you're in the chat and you want to join that thing. I mean, we're happy. We're happy, folks. Just send me a message and I'll send you location. Man, if that happens, give it to me before the end of the year, so that way I can rack up some extra points on Temba Garimbo, brother. I'd be yelling. I'm happy to go! Brother, I need that. Inject that into my veins. I think that's a fantastic matchup. I didn't actually write down a name. I wrote down anyone, .. because I don't care. I don't care who Chuck Buffalo fights next. I will be watching. And I will be smiling. I will be enjoying. And I'm happy to go! Come on, like when people go out there and fight as recklessly and just as powerfully as this man does, he just can't help but be excited to watch and enjoy. And this night was just one of those nights that was full of finishes. I will be taking a couple of shots throughout the night because I was wrong a couple of times. It's wrong. Sav, preemptively, with all due respect, fuck you. and we'll move into the next one. In a welterweight fight between Alessio Zaleski dos Santos coming in against Zachary Scroggins. Scroggins took this fight on short notice. It looked every bit as much like he did. Lasted just a minute and 15 seconds in. Elizio Zaleski dos Santos, somebody whose nickname is Capoeira, was throwing just a flow of strikes. By the way, folks, minute and 15 second long fight, 43 strikes thrown. Pretty sure that's more strikes that were thrown in the entire fight of Thug Rose versus Carlos Esparza. So shout out to the boy for throwing that many strikes. He only landed 11, right? But that's okay. He was still out there throwing and going, and we love to see it. And shout out making the walk. Let's go. What up, Olin and Nano? Good to see Nano back. My boy Sterling filled in nicely, though. You ain't lying, brother. He really did. He definitely was doing Texas proud. You know what I'm saying? And, dude, also, he's not in the chat. I hope he's not in the fucking chat. He should be doing better things. But congrats to McDane for having a baby tonight, or rather his significant other having a baby tonight. So, man, just lots of things to be excited about, but trying to stay centered, trying to stay focused on this one. Nano, what were your thoughts on this fucking Capoeira fight?
I mean, sheesh. That's all I had to say, man. Sheesh. Yeah, what a performance. You know, the old bull had to teach the young buck a couple things. Not much to say. I mean, he absolutely clipped him and got on top, did what he had to do. Like you said, a lot of strikes were thrown, but the important ones counted. And a lot of times it only takes one to get you on the path to your exit, right? And that was unfortunately what happened here. The newcomer, you know, just wasn't able to get it done. You know, my big takeaway after watching that was, you know, there's one thing that may not go away as you get older. And I think some of that is that killer instinct, right? That dog never leaves you. Okay. That's always in the kennel. It's always there when you need it. Don't want to go there usually. But again, I'm talking about a professional fighter here in his late 30s. Still got that dog in him. And he, you know, like my hat suggests here, but I was very happy to see the old bull get it done. So, Still got that power, still got that dog, still has that killer instinct to go out there and capitalize, right? Didn't let him get back up, didn't really think, oh, let me save my gas. It's like, I'm going, yeah, I knew that hurt him. I've been here before. So I thought it was impressive, man. I don't know what's next for our boy EZDS, Elizao Zaleski dos Santos, but certainly keep my eyes on him. At that stage, I think just, hey, like you said, I'll see him throw down with anybody. Don't even matter. Just sign me up. Just get him back in there sooner than later.
Just stay active. Just stay active. That's the only thing right now. Like I don't really care who he fights next. I just want to see him fight next. I want to see him stay active. I want to see him stay hungry and put on performances like that. Honestly, I know before this happened, he was originally slated to fight Nicholas Dalby. So if you know, gun to the head, I'd love to see that fight. Feel bad if your name is Elizio Zaleski dos Santos. Because Nicholas Dalby just so happens to be a meme-worthy fighter like C-Level Kane. If you're Brazilian, he just beats you. That's just what he does. So, tough draw if they end up rescheduling that one, which I hope they do. Oh, speaking of tough draws, I'm going to let Nano take the lead on this next one because I have a shot to pour up. We got Carolina Kovalkiewicz coming in against Denise Gomes. Oh, man. I hated to watch this fight. Nano, tell us how it made you feel.
I wouldn't say I hated it. That's a bit of a strong word here my co-host is using, but I certainly can feel for you as I'll be taking a sip of my sangria with you, because, you know, around here we don't let our brethren drink anything alone, so I will certainly accompany you there. But in terms of the fight itself, one can argue maybe a little more on the lackluster side. You did get an all-around good performance from Denise Gomes. Well, you know, there's a lot of that cage time. You know, literally, everyone tried to tell you, I know, Sav. I mean, hey, we tried. I mean, this guy's stubborn, man. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with him? That's why we love him, though. he learned his lesson. I think he just wants to come on here and take some shots. Maybe just likes getting thirsty throughout the pod. Who knows? But, certainly more often than not, he is right when it comes to the betting. Just, you know, didn't get this one right, unfortunately. But hey, Denise Gomes is certainly someone that is going to be on his radar. He's going to lick his wounds, going to learn his lessons, just like Karolina Kovalkiewicz. My goodness, I said that way too quick. Yeah, I mean, she's certainly going to remember this as well. Big lesson learned. She had her moments. The commentary was interesting here. I had to watch it without listening to Bisbing kind of drown out a lot of what was going on. I think just a lot of it wasn't necessarily helpful to what was going on during the fight, you know. But Alora Senko was a true pro's pro. It's like, you say what you need to if there's something significant, but it's like, let's let it marinate. Let's watch the fight. So I ended up kind of just watching them go to work, but it felt a little slower. Obviously, a lot of cage work, a lot of the clinch, but you did see Denise stay active and ripping the body, ripping the knees. But the takedowns were getting stuffed. She certainly had the upper hand when it came to the striking. But Karolina was right there to the end. She almost had the same amount of significant strikes in that third round, so she wasn't going anywhere. I think that's what you want to see from your fighter. So neither of them lose stock in my book, but Denise Gomes at 24 years young seems to be another one, right? As DJ Khaled coined, another young prospect here. That's certainly someone we're going to have to keep an eye on. Don't know what's next for her, but the beautiful thing when you're that young and probably hungry to continue to sharpen your skills is you'll want to get back in there as soon as possible and sign me up. I'll watch her fight anyone. Thought her striking was really, really impressive. And some of the elbows she was throwing, the 12x6s, the funky angles. I mean, it's you love to see someone that has that violent nature. This is my 2 cents, brother. What do you got?
I mean, she definitely utilized the 12x6 elbows. And not only that, but she utilized both of the rule changes, right? She hit some of those grounded knee or technicality, like new technically grounded opponent, I guess would be the terming. The new technicality of a grounded opponent, right? Like she had her hands down, but her knees weren't down. She ate a knee and actually tried to protest it. I believe it was in round one. And the ref was just like, no, keep going, man. So great on Denise Gomes for understanding the rules and really utilizing the new rules that were changed just recently. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. We talked about this recently. Fair talk, S-Talks. I've also done like 2 or 3 shows at this point because, like, you know, you were just doing a show every fucking day, S-Talk. So that being said, folks, look, this was a sad, sad one to watch, okay? I mean, how can I not go for Karolina Kovalkiewicz? Her name has my name in it. Karolina Olin. Come on. It's all there, folks. It's all there. No, I am just a big Karolina Kovalkiewicz fan. And I do love the fact that right after, she ended up finishing the fight, she posted on Instagram and said, you know what? Denise Gomes was the better person here on Saturday. This is the fight game. You win some, you lose some. I hope that you'll see me back in the octagon sooner than you think. What a beast! How do you not want to cheer for this lady, bro? Like, come on! Give her fucking roses. Making the walk said, Olin is a liquor cheat code. Is it possible for him to get faded? No. I think you're actually... You can answer that. It's very hard.
Definitely hard, but I'd say not impossible.
Not
impossible.
There are a few people that have seen me in rare form. Nano, he's one of them.
Right you are, Cotton. Right you are.
But I will say, after your wedding, I got compliments from 2 random people that I met literally that week. And the compliment was the same from both. Man, I've never seen anybody drink dark liquor as much and not get faded the way that you do. I'm like, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So, you know, thank you. So here we go, folks. Cheers. Oh, I will tell you though, the Texas whiskey that I picked up, it's pretty tough. It's literally 100% corn whiskey. So it's just like a step above moonshine, brother. It hits. It's a bit of a warming effect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll put some hair on the chest.
It will. It will. So sorry if you already said this. I don't believe you did. Do you have a name on the tip of your tongue for what you think should be next for Denise Gomes at women's strawweight?
No, I'm open, man. I think she's another one, and I don't want to default to this answer too often, but I'm going to use it here. I mean, get her back in as soon as possible. I don't even care. I mean, she's 24 years young. Like, not that I think she should go up against the top 15 or just yet, maybe a win, maybe two away, but I'd love to just see her get back in as soon as possible. Didn't take too much damage. Why not? You're young, you're healthy. This is the time to grow. Did you have a specific name?
I do, actually. I think that she should fight Luana Pinedo. Luana's coming off the loss, which we're going to talk about in just two fights. I just think that those two match up really well together as far as trajectory-wise in their career. And it'd be a really good excuse for Denise Gomes to break into the top 15, right? I truly think that she deserves to be up there. I just don't think that she's been given a ton of favorable names or matchups to get her there. And I think this would definitely be the right one. What are your thoughts on that one, brother?
I certainly like it. I mean, Luana's someone that's going to want to get back out and avenge that, you know, loss. Obviously, a little bit of a spoiler here. But yeah, I do think it's a great name. I'm wondering if she'll stay in the rankings or if she'll maybe move, I guess, or flip-flop, or I guess curious to see where they put her. But yeah, I like it. I mean, Denise Gomes is certainly talented, man. I mean, her striking is really impressive. She showed some good defense. Obviously can maybe get a little more crafty when it comes to some of those positional kind of situations, but she was offensive. Like, that's all you could ask, honestly. So yeah, I say two thumbs up, brother. Let's get it. Run it. Come on.
Let's get it. Two thumbs way up, dude. and Jax from Making the Walk wants to know, what wine are you drinking on over there, Nano?
Well, great question. It is the varietal from, well, it's sangria, so I don't know if what varietal it really is. But I was drinking it in Spain, and we went to Kirkland, and we got a big bottle of it, the wife and I. And I feel very fancy. You know, in Madrid, they serve this with peaches and apples and oranges and apricots. Sometimes kiwis and pineapples. And ice, and then you drink it, and it gets you drunk. It's very good. I like to think it's my daily dose of there's some vitamins in there, right? Something. We'll take it.
As Tops MMA, Nano's changed.
I've gone too far off the deep end. All right, I'll come back. Give me another week or two back in the States. I'll get my country.
Would Padme say to Anakin, "You're going down a path I can't follow you"?
You were the chosen one.
You were the chosen one, Anakin. Yeah, I can't follow you down that.
I'll come back.
I pray. Someone throw some pray hand emojis in the chat so I can put those up. So moving into the next one, obviously, you know, not one, but two elephants in the room. I need to get a fucking elephant soundbite. That would be tits. Just like, you know, elephant in the room. Anyways, two elephants in the room, not just one, but two. We have Ricky Tercios versus Bernardo Sopage that fell off literally like the day before the fights. I think we were actually on a live stream talking about it when it happened. And then Curtis Gerbrandt, Mr. No Love himself, fell out of the fight against Miles Johns. Got to think that Miles Johns is probably going to want to hang out and just wait for that fight to come back because it's a winnable fight for him, somewhat favorable, and it's obviously the biggest name he can get right now in his career. So if I'm Miles Johns, I'm holding off. Not only am I going to let you take the lead on this one, but we have a middleweight bout to break down. It is Mansur Abdul-Malik coming in against Dusko Todorovic. Mansur. I was wrong about this one. But I didn't really bet on this one. Didn't have a huge dog in this race, so to speak. Nano, what were your thoughts on this one, man? Did anything surprise you at all? Did you already have the Mansa written down?
I think I did take the Mansa because, frankly, half of it was his name. I think just felt a little bit more comfortable with him going in there. But John's fighting Felipe Lima. Ooh.
Did you read that right as I pulled it up on the screen? That was funny as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
The timing on that was actually awesome.
I figured you were. I saw your reaction. I'm like, all right, it caught it.
In December. That's right around the corner, brother.
Hells yeah. Good for him. Love that. Can't wait to break it down with y'all. But all to say, I mean, I guess my big takeaway was it felt a little sloppy. I mean, violent, but a little sloppy there. It was just guys were hucking and throwing, losing their balance and whatnot. But, hey, he got to the mark. Mansur got to the mark there early and often. Knotted up his opponent in Dusko. Started dropping some absolute bombs on him from the top position. He was standing over him, just absolutely dropping haymakers as Dusko's on the ground and finally put him away. Maybe I don't know if it's a debatable early stoppage, but it did just feel like that was going one direction. And a lot of times, if you see that and he's not really intelligently defending himself or making improvements, I certainly don't. Everyone has their limit, right? I mean, the ref's job's to protect them. I'm sure he's giving them this opportunities. Hey, show me something. Show me something. But wasn't able to show him enough, and I think he got rocked. I mean, these are some big boys. Mansur Abdul Malik, absolute beast. Mam, I like to say with his initials there. 31 total strikes, 29 significant. It was all she wrote, man. Really, really strong up-and-comer here, but I think I just need to see a little bit more from a technical perspective. Could be misreading it a little bit. You know, I mean, this was kind of just a brawl from pillar to post. Didn't need a lot of time. So neither of them really settled in. Neither of them really had to rely on coaching and situational kind of tactics. So I like to see a little bit more. I don't necessarily have a name. Although, I mean, again, just anybody that's coming off a win, anyone that fought within the last couple months, it's like, why not? Just get him back in there. So let me see a little bit more. What do you think, brother?
Yeah, I mean, same. I didn't really learn a whole lot about Mansur on Saturday. I just learned that he's strong. I learned that he's powerful. But again, like that, I didn't really learn anything because I already knew those things about him. I've seen him in fights. I just haven't seen him in fights against MMA, or not MMA, UFC caliber opponents. Dusko Todorovic, I would say, is a UFC caliber opponent. And granted, one thing I learned about Mansur, I guess, is that he makes people look like they don't want to be in there with him, right? Like, when that first shot connected on Dusko, I haven't seen him actually like react like that to another fighter hitting him. So kudos to Mansur. Again, it was 3 total strikes landed to 31. For those of you that are terrible at math, that's a 10-1 deficit, right? And Sav Al-Hassan, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, is that what you're saying? Because, I mean, that's a fire fight. That's a fire fight. I'm just worried that someone will get their neck broken from concussive shots to the face. Yeah, I mean, Mansur hits really hard, and I didn't have a name written down, but Sav apparently is fighting for a job on the podcast right now, bro. She's fighting for a seat here. And she's definitely going to end up getting one. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is a fucking banger of a fight. Can't type all that while I'm driving. Stop typing while you're driving at all, dude. Use talk to text.
Or, yeah, there you go.
I fucking love you, Nano.
That's hilarious.
That was fucking money, dude.
Right on cue.
This is literally what my significant other is like. You guys rehearse, right? Like, how do you know the timing on some of these things? Dude, come on. I asked Ass Dogs MMA how the weight cut's going. He said, I would do diabolical things for Whataburger right now.
Hey, man, don't go there. Go to your happy place. Think of other things, my brother.
And I'm not even cutting weight, and so would I. Just because we don't have them in Cali.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Give me that spicy ketchup, dog.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, you guys have them in AZ?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, more reason for me to come visit you again.
Absolutely, brother. Right around yonder. In terms of songs, too. Honestly, I think I would do like a Many Men by 50 Cent or anything in the 50 catalog, something that's, you know, makes me want to hurt somebody. I think that might be where I would recommend.
One that always gets me, so I already threw it in the chat, but Run For Your Life by The Siege is like a solid, like, kind of hip-hop one. And, I mean, just a throwback oldie that always gets me going and revved up, literally, is Black Betty
Ooh, that is a good one.
Whoa, Blackberry, bam, bam. You know what I'm saying?
You sent me it earlier, but another good one, Thunderstruck. That's kind of a banger.
I was literally at the gym
good intro.
For the first time since moving feeling dead. That song came on, and we're just, we're back,
Oh, well, I didn't get the crowd involved. I mean, that could be good. I was wrong in the middle of a rock and roll time.
Thunder.
I don't know the rest of the words, but you get
you're crushing it. You're fucking crushing it right now, bro. My gosh. My gosh. I thought I was actually at a concert right now, bro. I was at a concert. I love it, bro. So before we move on to the next fight, do you have a name other than Abdul Razak al-Hassan for Mansur Abdul Malik? It's the battle of the Abduls? That kind of feels fucked up. Sav, does the loser have to like drop the Abdul? Like homie would just be Razak al-Hassan after that? Or Mansur would be Mansur Malik? Eminem?
Yeah, then you have to go the legal route. I mean, that's the only logical thing.
I think so.
I reckon.
Loser changes their name to Jim. Jim Razak al-Hassan.
Winner decides their name. There you go. Then they'll both put on the fight of their life, tell you that much. That's a fun one. I like it. I mean, Andre Petrowski, anyone in that range, honestly. I like anybody. Yeah. I think that's the move.
Look, folks. With that one being finished, when it comes to this next bout, it's a women's strawweight bout, and I can tell you, of all the fights we talked about, this is the one where I was like, doesn't matter. Definitely not going to be doing a shot for this one, folks. because Jillian Robertson is going to do Jillian Robertson things. Now, I told you, if you don't feel confident betting Jillian Robertson, if you're like, oh, you know what? That Luana Pinheiro, she's a real son of a gun. Maybe she gets it done. If you really had that weird inclination, I told you, safest bet of the night on underdogs, as far as I was concerned, was the over 2.5 takedowns from Jillian Robertson. Pretty sure you agree with me on that she'd get that done in her fucking sleep. By the way, she got 5. By the way, she shot 7 fucking teen. You've heard of Khabib? This is She Khabib, okay? Because, like, she just shoots relentlessly. Doesn't care. Actually, you know what? She's not a She Khabib. You've heard of Mirab. This is She-Rob, okay? She-Rob, the machine to Shivalishvili. She's out there fucking getting it done. And Sav, shout out to the most efficient 12-6 elbow we've seen thus far. She did a 12-6 elbow to the booty hole. I don't know if anybody saw that. Happy looking at the TV like. Swear. What a fight, though, if your name is Jillian Robertson. She looked really good out there. Her opponent did do a significant amount as far as landing strikes, but I just didn't think that they were doing enough to really show any appeal with not only the fans, but also the judges' scorecards, right? So, absolutely impressive stuff for Jillian Robertson. The only thing brighter than her hair in the octagon was her performance on Saturday. Phenomenal job. Nano, did anything surprise you at all about her performance, or did you already know, brother?
I think we did have a good inclination, definitely. But it's one thing to maybe anticipate a win, but you never necessarily expect it to look like that. She did a great job out there. The striking differential and, you know, on paper, Luana certainly looks like it was closer than really how it felt, in my opinion. She had Luana moving around the entire octagon, like, and she was picking her shots well at times, but it just felt like nothing was really phasing Jillian. And to your point, Jillian Robertson Nurmagomedov certainly was a beast Saturday night. She just absolutely relentless. And it just felt like Luana really didn't have an answer for the wrestling game, for the ground game. It felt like maybe after that first round towards the end and kind of bleeding into that second round, I just felt like Luana was kind of losing her steam or losing her confidence. So I don't know. I just feel like there's something you kind of notice in the fighter, and just felt like she was kind of giving up on some of those takedowns and moving maybe a little bit more shooting, well, just constantly moving left, right, just trying to avoid her opponent there and then choosing her shots. But the shot selection started to go down a little bit, just maybe getting a little bit more desperate. But again, that's Jillian Robertson ball, baby. I mean, she'll go out there and she'll get you off your A game. She's relentless with the takedown. She's got those fisticuffs if she needs to use them. She obviously knows where to land. But she's an absolute beast. Really, really impressed with everything she displayed. And again, I just, Luana really just didn't have any answers for the ground game or trying to explode out or reversal or throw up something to threaten her opponent. It just, yeah, unfortunately wasn't able to get it done. And yeah, now on a 3-fight losing streak, Luana Pinheiro, again, it's just something, you know, that off switch unfortunately kind of happens throughout the fight there. And maybe it's just getting disengaged. Maybe it's kind of a confidence thing or just kind of knowing, hey, it's not, or feeling like it's not going your way. But again, got to give Jillian the Savage Robertson her flowers. Absolute beast. In terms of what's next for her, I'm looking at the landscape here in the top 10, and I certainly think, again, you got to reward her. She's on a 3-fight win streak. You got to reward her with someone else that's also on a win streak as well. We got a girl here, absolute beast. She is on a 4-fight win streak, and I'm looking at that 9th spot in the Yasmin Lucindo. Is she number 9? 7. I guess, and maybe it'll change still, but even higher. Why not? Throw her into the top 10. I think she deserves it. And that's a good name that doesn't have a dance partner yet, so why not? What are your thoughts on the brother? And, I mean...
Dude, I love that when we're not hive-minding when it comes to this kind of shit, we just as well fucking be, right? Because, like, you picked Yasmin Lucindo. I picked the last chick she beat. I picked Marina Rodriguez. I think either one of those would be really, really good matchups for her. And I think both of those would be fun for the fans. If I'm being honest, I think Jillian beats my pick. I think she struggles a little bit more with your pick. But I'm here for both of them. I'm definitely here for both of them.
I like it. Good options.
Honestly, Sav, so two things. S-Dogs MMA says that she should make a Dana White doll. I agree. Oh, she said he's coming. I got an idea I need to talk to him about. I was going to say you should totally do a Dana White doll. But like as a joke, before you do the post about his, you should just do like a tomato one and say, hey, look, I made Dana White. Like a tomato with a face and like a vein in his forehead. Because, you know, Dana turns into a tomato anytime Conor McGregor news comes out. I just think that'd be funny, but it's okay if nobody gets the joke. That's fine. and we move on. We move forward, folks. This next one is one that I was wrong about. I thought that, the Dream Killer I thought was going to come out here and get knocked out against Gutavius Romes, but he did not. This is not one that I put any bets on. I didn't really have a big dog in this race. And honestly, this was one of the more boring fights of the card for me. 80 strikes versus 30, 2 takedowns versus 4. I mean, Cortavius looked like somebody making his UFC debut. Gaston Baianos looked like somebody that was fighting for his UFC job. That was about it. Neither guy could finish each other. Kind of a grindy fight. You knew who was winning, but you knew Cortavius wasn't going to go to sleep anytime soon. Like it was just a weird drag out kind of fight. Nano, did you enjoy this fight? Will you be going back and rewatching this one anytime soon, brother?
You know, certainly probably a footnote on this card for sure, but there was a moment, and I think it was maybe at the end of the first round, that Cortavius did have Gastelum hurt a little bit, starched him a little, tried to capitalize, but I think he just ran out of time. And his opponent was able to come back and definitively win the rest of the fight outside of that one kind of oh shit moment. But yeah, honestly, I think both guys certainly maybe a little green around the gills. Gastelum did enough to get it done, but I liked how resilient Cortavius, you know, entertained Romeus looked in there. Unfortunately, maybe not as entertained as we would have liked would be my response. But yeah, don't have anything in terms of what's next for these guys. Hoping to see him again soon, but scrappy one, but unfortunately a bit overshadowed by some of the knockouts and other fun fights in this card.
So S-Dogs MMA asked, what weight class would At Nano fight at? I told him, judging by what I know about you, I would say probably 185 or 205, depending on kind of who you're going against and how like much muscle mass you put on as well. But you're already pretty thick.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he asked, is he 6'3 like me?
I wish, brother. I appreciate you thinking that. I'm a solid 6, you know, probably 5'11 if you ask my doctor, but I'll round up and say 6 foot. I'm walking around at like 185, 190 right now. So I don't know, obviously, if it would be beneficial for me to go up to 205. Those are some big boys.
Wait, you're walking around at what right now?
Like 185, 190. I got down to like 180, almost 175, like in Spain. I mean, I was, then at my wedding, I was like 177, 180. You know, lean and mean, but.
I was not lean and mean at your wedding.
I was bachelor, I was like 175. You know, like I was
thick and slick at the wedding.
Attaboy. I like that. So to be honest, like, I mean, and doing that, like I got down to like 175, I was pretty lean. I can probably get to 170 for sure. 155 is probably like I would need to try to get to. But to your point, you know, I'd have to maybe trim some of the
like
muscle
water cutting and stuff like that. Yeah. You could make 155, bro.
Yeah, I'd probably have to get to 155. That'd be the move. Cause I got skinny legs too. I got those John Jones calves, so I would certainly be able to slim down.
In the next 12 to 24 months, we're getting shredded. We're going to Thailand and we're going to that bar and we're gonna have a random boxing match. It's gonna be the best content.
I'd be fire as fuck. I'm down.
Dude. We're gonna be drinking beers in between fucking rounds. It's gonna be so sick.
That'd be sick.
I'll be like,
down.
I know I got rocked that last round. Just give me a shot of whiskey. We're good.
A little CTE, but let me get a little shot of J-Bone.
Mom, can
well.
Of corn. Can of corn. He's all right.
Can of corn.
Can of corn. He's fine. Look, man, I know I said I didn't really have a dog in that last race. I didn't. I didn't have a dog in the last race. I did have a dog in the next one. It was GM3, folks. It was GM3 was the dog I had in this race. And, he didn't get it done. He didn't get it done. It was bad. It wasn't fun. He didn't get it done. S-Dogs is in to go to Thailand. My guy. So he's coming to Vegas with us next year, and he's coming to Thailand with us. And I'm happy about both. Let's fucking go. We're gonna be fucking doing it. We're going to be taking turns, throwing rounds in there. Let's fucking go. Speaking of which, I'm actually going to be in Vegas in 2 weeks. I was actually thinking I'm going to hit up Big Ron Pellegrino. Shout out to the man, the myth, the legend, Big Ron. Go over to his cantina over there in Vegas and hopefully get to hang out with the boy. At this point, I'm just stalling, okay, folks? Because, look. That was my hope disappearing on GM3 on Saturday night, slowly but surely. He lost the fight against Janiel de Rivera, and it wasn't pretty. It wasn't great, right? It was not the funnest trip to take if you are a GM3 fan. I really thought that he was going to go out there and get the better of this guy. At first, it really looked like he was. He was landing some of the bigger strikes, but then he just kind of stopped, and Janiel de Rivera started doing a lot better. So... Man. It's a tough one to swallow. It was a sloppy fight. Renier de Ritter, I think the best thing that he did is say that no UFC fighter or any fighter really should go and sign with one. He's the first fighter to speak out about it publicly and not delete it right after, right? Which I thought was very interesting. But as far as the fight itself goes, pretty lackluster performance. I'm not rushing to book him against a top 15 opponent after this, but I'm rushing to do this shot just to get it out of the fucking way, kids. To GM3, the man, the myth, the legend, most subs in the division. Cheers to you, brother. With the Coke chaser and my little Star Wars cup. How fancy is that? That's cute, right?
So cute.
So cute. All right. And yeah, dude, definitely want to make that trip to Texas, brother. You already know. Besides, I'm going to see you. I'm going to see you in Louisiana in like a month. Actually, less than a month. In like 3 fucking weeks, brother. Let's go, Nano. Let's hear your breakdown. And you're not wrong, ass dog. I do take shots like water. It's just spicy water. That's actually what I tell my nephew.
That's actually pretty good. I do like that. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah. When I drink beer or anything alcoholic, he's like, "What are you drinking, Uncle?" I'm like, "Spicy water."
It's very spicy to want this. That's a good one. I'm sorry saying that.
Now he's like, anytime I eat food or like stuff that's spicy, he's like, "Not right now, because I'm too young. I'm just a kid right now. But when I grow up, I'm gonna have spicy stuff like Uncle." And I'm like, hopefully not as much spicy stuff. But
yeah. Control your spicy intake, please. That's hilarious. I love it, brother. Yeah, man. Hey, I mean, this was a good performance. All to say, I mean, the new kid on the block has arrived, Reinier de Ridder. Very unorthodox. I didn't know what to expect in there. It was a little lackadaisical. Just different to see some of these Muay Thai guys come in. And again, he has sort of a lackadaisical style to him as well. But when he was landing the mark, it certainly looked to impact and hurt our boy GM3. So that was what I thought was interesting. He definitely looked big as well for the division. I heard he was kind of a tweener, or you know, 2-time champ in 1FC. So I think he chose the right weight class, and he looked pretty big, looked strong. Now that he's getting all the right nutrition, all the right training, everything here, curious to see how far he can go. But there were still some question marks. Like GM3 had some chances, I thought. Like he was landing. He had his moments. Not enough, unfortunately, to really hurt his opponent. And then, unfortunately, as the fight rolled along, you saw GM3 sort of lose some steam, and his opponent, RDR, was still right there, guns blazing, throwing some heavy shots. He dropped our boy GM3 that at one point, that sharp elbow, followed up with the fading left hook, the left hand there. Little chin music, put GM3 on his butt. And then, yeah, third round, finally able to get it done. I mean, what more can we say? I think, unfortunately, it's like I look at it and it's, you know, GM3 in my book, kind of, it's more of like him taking the L than RDR winning. I don't want to discredit what he did in there, but
dude, that's such a great way of saying it. Sorry to cut in. Like, that's such a good way of describing it. It felt more like GM3 losing than it did RDR winning. Holy fuck, that's a great, great way of summing it up.
That's how I felt, man. Just call it how I see it. There's no filter around here. But yeah, man, it was an interesting bout. Sky's the limit for this guy, though. Again, I'd love to see him get anyone that's a name. I don't necessarily want to say someone ranked, although, I mean, how do you make... I mean, you can build it. You can make a case. I'm not opposed, you know, a little bit of that Michael Chandler treatment. I don't know. Is that too bullish? I mean, he's a 2-time champ in a different organization. He beat GM3, submitted him, had some moments on the feet, although... Yeah, I'm not saying he should be fighting for the title next, but is a top 15er too bullish?
I don't think that's a crazy call, but I do think, okay, I'm going to play both sides. Do I think it's crazy for him to fight top 15 a little bit after that performance? Do I think they will give him a top 15? Yes, for two reasons. Number one, he went on record at a UFC post-fight presser after his debut to say, if you're thinking about signing for one championship, just don't. There's nothing good waiting for you there. There are no fights waiting for you there. I mean, you couldn't pay somebody to cut a better promo than that if you're Dana White. You just couldn't. So, like, I mean, if I'm Dana, I'm texting Hunter and I'm going to give him a fucking title shot. This guy's the truth. I love him. And also, if I'm Dana White, what did we do when we got Ben? Let's feed him to a guy that we think can knock him out in Robbie Lawler. Okay, Robbie couldn't do it. Let's give him to Jorge fucking Masvidal. And Jorge got it done. And, I mean, you can't help but think that that's exactly what Dana wanted, right? Because it makes other organizations look weaker than the UFC. especially if you're a multiple organization champion or a double champ in an organization like Javier Derrider. So if I'm Dana, probably going to feed him to a top 15 earlier than I should. Maybe I feed him to Ashara Bullitt in Abu Dhabi. February.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Like, you try and shoot in on him with that stuff, you're going to catch something real nasty coming back your way. And pretty soon after that, you're going to just be looking up at the lights like,
fatality.
It's going to be bad for you, kid. Yeah. Sign me up for that one, brother. Sign me up for that one. I don't know if you had any other names specifically on the top 15 on the tip of your tongue. Other than that, I did have one other name, and this is, I did mention talking about this earlier.
Talk to me.
This is one that is very near and dear to my hearts, okay? I'm going to bring the mic very close to my face for this one, because I want you to hear me talk about it. I want him to fight Jack. You see Joker, Hermanson.
I think Jack Hermanson gets it done, and I think Jack Hermanson makes a fool of this kid on the ground. That's why I want to see it happen, because I know that Renier de Ritter is a beast, right? He's 18-2. He's not somebody that's a slouch at all. He's the Dutch Knight. And I mean, the Dutch Knight is very close to the Dark Knight. And if the Dark Knight's supposed to fight anybody, it is the Joker. Come on. You give that guy to Jack the Joker Hermanson. The storylines are there. You got the Dark Knight versus the Joker, the Dutch Knight versus the Joker. And let me tell you, this is one of the few times, and let me tell you, my favorite DC stories of all time are the dark ones, right? This is one of the few times where I think the bad guy gets the last laugh, and the bad guy being the Joker here. I just think that he embarrasses him on the ground, and that would be exactly what the UFC wants, considering the young man has 72% of his wins, 13 of them coming by way of submission, and he's never been subbed in his life. So if Jack the Joker Hermanson goes up there and not only out-grapples him, but gets a sub on him, he will be getting the last laugh, folks. You can bet on it. You heard it here first.
I like it. Laugh and all, baby. Come on. Book it.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Had to break it out.
That one. I like it.
Had to break it out, brother. And now, without further ado, folks.
It's time!
For us to move into the main event, it was a welterweight main event here between Neil, the Haitian sensation, Magny, coming in against Carlos Prates. Now, I said if Carlos Prates lost this fight, I would do a shot. I also said if he won this fight, I would do a shot because Carlos Prates is a whiskey and cigarettes kind of guy. So we do a little bit of ASMR for you guys so that you know there's no tomfoolery here. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do, folks. That's how we do. Nano, raise your glass. Folks, last but not least here, we appreciate you last, and we're hitting a little over the hour mark. There's over 19 of you folks joining in, watching us chat about these fights. Dana White's love letter to the little warehouse in the desert. UFC Apex 100. Folks, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you listening to us talk about fights, and we can't fucking wait to talk about more of them with you across the rest of the year and many years to come. Cheers to you. Cheers to all that you do. And cheers to the fights that make us smile the most. Let's go. Booyakasha. Let's go. Nano is feeling classy tonight. You're right, Miss Mary 616. He is drinking sangria.
Yes, I am.
He's on that Spanish. Use day glasses, San Diego.
That's right. You go
yourself, San Diego. You go yourself, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I love
Damn it, who added a question mark to the teleprompter?
Great show, everybody. I love Scotch.
Bing, bang, bong, you're fired.
Yeah, you are fired. That's hilarious. But no, I am solid now as well, brother. Listen, man, Carlos Prates has arrived, bro. This dude's got the moxie. Hell of a performance. Four knockouts in a row now. My God. I mean, and honestly, the thing that really surprised me here, stuffed 7 of Neil Magny's takedowns in this first round, just about all of it, 4 minutes, 50 seconds. 0-7. Neil Magny was not able to get the kickboxer down. So once I saw that after the first couple, I thought, okay, if that's how it's going to go, then it's going to be a long night for Neil Magny. But Carlos said, now I see your long night little scenario here, and I'm actually going to go ahead and raise you. Don't need more than a round. Don't need the judges. Don't need the championship rounds. That left hand is something vicious now, boy. I mean, and I will say this, the one thing that stood out, because I'm just looking at him, and I mean, I watched his highlights, and I said it last week, like, he's someone that you want to go turn on the tape and watch. Like, he has another knockout highlight reel finish here. He's just continuing to collect skulls. But the thing he said in the post-fight conference that really stood out to me was his experience doing Muay Thai. But I didn't really think about it. Like, he was talking about he was fighting 6 times a month, like 4 to 6 times a month, a couple times a weekend, every week, like getting after it. And I think a lot of that, like, really is why he's so cool, calm, collected in there, why he's just calculated, why he, frankly, just feels comfortable fighting. He's had over 100 Muay Thai fights, he said. I think dude is legit. I can't praise him enough. I mean, the Nightmare, certainly someone that's caught my attention. I think he's turning a lot of heads as well, just in the UFC in general. He's 31 years old, so he's right in his prime. Like, this could be someone that we could be seeing. He mentioned it. Obviously, the SIGs is pretty funny that he's becoming notorious for that. But he mentioned that he needs to go back and work on the ground game and the wrestling and some of the jiu-jitsu, and really blending that all together in a mixed martial arts capacity. So I believe him. I think he's going to go and do that and get better. I mean, he's certainly showed good defense, but he acknowledged those guys at the top, that's really their bread and butter. You got to be able to have that in the bag. I mean, right now, the champs, Bilal, I guess we'll see what happens. Shavkat Rachmanov is up there. Sean Brady, guys that are legit when it comes to the ground game. Can he strike with the best of them, and Ian Gary and some of these other guys? A JDM that he called out? I think so, man. I mean, this guy is special. And a JDM or a Joff Neal would be absolutely fantastic. Grant the man what he wants. I would be okay with either one. Joff Neal maybe feels a little more realistic, sitting at like that 9-10 spot. Had the fight with RDA recently. RDA got hurt, so Jeff's probably ready to get back in there, I would assume. But those are my 2 cents, brother. I mean, all in all, Carlos brought this absolute savage. He's got the moxie. Those fighting nerds are cooking up something serious, and he's just the latest and greatest, the new kid on the block, just the new shiny toy that they're showing out there. Man, hell of a performance. What do you got for us, brother?
Brother, 100% fire performance and fire breakdown from you, Nano. Let's give this man his fucking round of applause, folks. Come on. Come on. This guy's, I mean, you always make it tough to follow, my guy. But I do appreciate you leaving just a little bit of meat on the bones, a little morsel of the meats here. Now, I actually said this in the breakdown, and I apologize, folks. Like, if I genuinely feel bad because I told people, man, I did do a shot though. So I did it for you guys, for me being wrong. Okay. I told people the safest bet on this was to bet Carlos Prates, but that if you're going to bet him rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's it. Man, there it is. I was wrong. Typically he is a download and then throw kind of guy, and Neil Magny, the Neil Magny of yesteryear, would have been able to take some of those shots, right? But craziest thing is it wasn't one of those that was like, right, it didn't kill his jaw, it didn't hit him like right on the temple, it grazed right behind the ear, and it barely grazed. But I mean, if I barely graze you with a shotgun in the back of the head, it's still enough to scramble your fucking eggs, right? So that's what Carlos Prates did there. He hit him with a shotgun in the back of the head. Not the back of the head, but right behind the little, right behind the ear there. It's okay. Either way, This guy went out there and got it done. And the craziest, most impressive thing about this, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Nano, I don't think you mentioned this, so I appreciate you again for leaving a little bit of meat on the bones for me here. Not covering every little fucking morsel, my guy. So I don't let you go first. Too damn good. He landed less strikes than his opponent. It was 23-13. He landed 10 less strikes in a fight that had less than 40 total strikes thrown and landed. The man is a fucking sniper. I did state that numerous times. That's why I thought he was going to get it done in rounds 2, 3, 4, or 5, because I thought he was going to take that first round of download data and then really implement it across the duration of the fight. But he just really started to pick it up early on. And as soon as he landed that one straight down the pipe, right, he turned it over, pow! And you saw, like, the best way to describe the reaction is Neil didn't like that. Like, Neil did not like that. And as soon as you're the guy that throws that, oh boy, it might as well be fucking Christmas morning, kid, because the present's right there. Right? It's just waiting for you to unwrap it, ooh, and punch your stamp to the top 15, brother. And that's exactly what Carlos Prates did, that fighting nerd. He adjusted his glasses. He adjusted his sight. He adjusted his range. And then he went out there and got it fucking done. Got the kill shot. The dude is an absolute beast. He is a stud. Very young in his fight career and in his age. He's 21-6. Right. But if you look at where this guy is going, I mean, right now, trajectory only says up, kids. If you look at his last loss, it was back in 2019 at one championship, right? Against Gajimurad Abdulyev. So, Nano, you mentioned you'd like to see him against a grappler. Like, how does he do against a grappler? I love you, bro. And this is exactly why you're the co-host with the most, man. Like, I have Who Watches the Watchmen in Latin going across my back, right? Who watches those who watch us? Because me, I'm getting carried away. I'm just getting excited. I'm getting all lackadaisical over here in my old age. I want to see him fight Michael Venom Page, bro. call me crazy. But like, I want to see two dudes that are just murderous with the hands and feet, hands, shoulders, knees, and toes. I want to see him go at it, brother. And I think Michael Venom Page is just a really, really fun matchup. He doesn't have anything scheduled right now. Just got a win over Carlos Condit in the grappling realm. Shout out to the fucking legend, Carlos Condit. I mean, other than that, obviously, there's other ways that we can go with this. But it really just depends on kind of what you would like to see him do, right? If you think he's worthy, though, you got to give him somebody like a Jeff Neal that's a complete fighter. But even that is more of a striker's delight. So I don't know that you're going to be happy there. Did you have a name? What grappler do you want to see him sacrifice to, brother?
Ooh, see, that's where I would rather just see him fight another striker so we can continue to get the show here and keep it on tracks. I want to stay on this hype train for as long as possible. And like I said, man, I mean, if he's willing to call his shot or he wants to get back out there as soon as possible. Jack Della Maddalena. I mean, I don't think anything's confirmed yet with them. But if not, that's too far. Joff Neal at 10. If I had to pick a grappler, though, maybe that could test him in the top that's ranked. I mean, this is tough. I mean, Sean Brady's up there who really could truly test him. So Kashavkot, Shoka Kamaru. I mean, Leon, if he wanted to. Bilal, obviously. But other than that, I mean, he's tough, man. I'm not really... I mean, is he a Machado Gary going to go out there out-grapple him? I guess he could. He's got that in his arsenal a little bit. That's where I don't know how to gauge him, right? It's like it's hard to say how good could he be. But, man, Venom Page is definitely a good name as well. Wouldn't be mad at that. To anybody, brother. I want to see him fight anyone and everyone. That's the reality. but he called out JDM and Joff Neal, so I'd say either of those two I'd be happy with.
I'd love to see him fight JDM. That's what I said the night of. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Like, because they're both like two rising UFC stars, in my opinion. Like, MVP is the Bellator guy. And like, again, Dana wants to see him get beat. So Carlos Prates beating him up is the best case scenario for Dana White. But the other way around is not bad either, man. There's just a lot of excitement following this fight. A lot of excitement following this fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this division's buzzing. A lot of knockouts. A lot of implications, as I like to say. But Carlos Prates, man, those fighting nerds are up to something for sure.
Man, man, man. With that being said, we actually do have some UFC news that was announced very, very recently. Just before the show, maybe during the show. I don't know. So that's right, folks. We have the first three bouts that have been announced for UFC 312 in Australia, mate. Let's break them down. Let's check these fights out. We have Jimmy Crute returning to the Octagon for the first time since July 2023 to take on Marcin Prashnio at light heavyweight. We've also got undefeated flyweight prospect Rey Tsuraya, which if you haven't seen him, dude has just a fucking metric shit ton of swagger, okay? Coming in against Kilan Sakild. Or no, sorry, Stuart Nickel. And Kilan Sakild will be coming in against Anshul Jubli, who you might remember from, I believe it was UFC Saudi Arabia? Indian fighter. Very, very good guy. Or good fighter. I don't know how he is outside of the Octagon. Can't say he's a good guy. But exciting stuff, man. Exciting stuff. And
I like it.
Again,
it's formulating.
Real quick, want to call out. There are 16 of you guys and gals and folks of all ages, shapes, and sizes, fight fans, watching us over on Twitter/X. Does anybody actually call it X? Let us know in the chat if you call it X. Do you call it Twitter or do you call it X? Either way, there are 16 of you folks watching us over on X, Twitter, whatever the heck you call it. If you could please follow the link I just posted there in that chat over to the YouTube and at least hit the like for us, please. Maybe hit the subscribe button there. Smash that bell for notifications if you're feeling extra kind. We'd really appreciate it, folks. It really helps. Oh, and now we got 20. Look at that. Hey, we got more coming. We really appreciate that. The message is already fucking carrying. We love you guys so much. Nano, we got through this one, I feel like, extra early tonight. We do have another episode coming up in just a couple of days. So, that being said, what is the most exciting thing coming up on the UFC horizon for you outside of UFC 309 and seeing John Jones return?
Man, I mean, the first place my brain goes is just the new landscape with some of the new champions, honestly. Ilya doing what he did just like opens up so much, the potential of him fighting Islam or just a new guy that is like, you know, sweeping us off our feet. Alex Bejeda, like anything he does, I guess post John Jones is if he does do what he supposedly wants to do and tries to get a BMF title to go to the big boys and wants to challenge an Alex Bejeda to a BMF title, that would immediately jump up the total poll on my excitement list. But yeah, I think that's really it, is just to see like who's going to continue to reign as champion. And then even like Bilal and everything going on there, is he going to keep his title? Who's going to fight? Like, there's still a few fights I think we're waiting to get confirmation on, but boy, am I excited for just some of these puzzle pieces to kind of fall into place. Mostly these new champs. I mean, Ilya and Bilal, trying to see what's going to happen with these guys. But what about you, brother?
Well, it's funny you ask. One of them, I think, might be a popular opinion. The other one, not so much. I'm actually going to give you three. One that's maybe neutral. So, first things first, we got Randy Rude Boy Brown coming in against Brian the Butcher Battle on December 7th. All three of these answers, candidly, on December 7th. Card. So, with that being said, let's fucking go, my guy. It's Randy Rude Boy Brown versus Brian the Butcher Battle. That's number one, okay? That's the one that I think people are actually going to get behind and enjoy. Here's the one that I think people might be a little bit torn on. Movsar Evloev coming in against Aljamain Sterling. I think it's probably going to be one of the better fights of the year. And I also think it's going to be something where we truly get to see how good Aljamain Sterling is. I think he comes out here in a new weight class at featherweight and gives Movsar Evloev his first defeat. Probably causes him to become a much better fighter. And then after that, now this is the one where I know I'm going to get a little bit of heat. Okay, folks. I might even get some boos in the crowd here. I'm going to go Vicente Luque versus not Nate, but Nick Diaz. Relax. Fuck, relax. Relax. Okay. Look. How cool would it be to see Nick Diaz get a win in 2024? Shut the fuck. What the fuck? Oh, man. A lot of Nick Diaz haters in here. No. But all jokes aside, I think they're catching each other at the perfect time. Like, one's on the rise, one's on the fall. It's kind of a winner-take-all. Let's jump in the chat real quick here. Daryl Clark, I'm looking forward to Figgy versus Jan. UFC 310. Is stacked. Fun fact, folks. Guess where I pulled all three of those fights? It was UFC 310. Daryl Clark spitting straight fire in the chat right now. This guy knows what's up. Buckley versus Gary. Woo-hoo-hoo. If John beats Stipe, does he retire or face Tom? Lots of interesting stuff. Well, Daryl, I truly hope that you're going to tune in for the Wednesday episode. We'll be going live again on Wednesday. We'll be breaking down UFC 309 in its entirety. Top to bottom, bottom to top. You know we don't stop. You know we rock. And we'll be telling you our best picks, our favorite fights, our best bets. And also, we'll be answering this burning question right fucking here from Daryl Clark. If John beats Stipe, does he retire or face Tom? I'm not only going to give you that, I'm going to give you some hypothetical situations. That's right, folks. Some hypotheticals in the clavicle for those of you that have watched Key and Peele. And with that being said, folks, we really, really pray that you've had a great time. We hope that you've had a great time. And if you haven't, we hope you hit the like button anyways, right? either way, we'll see you on Wednesday. And above all else, we hope you do two things. We hope you keep on going. We hope you keep on growing, folks. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. As you may have been able to tell, we dig the MMA, and our passion is to dive deep into the upcoming fights, give you our expert breakdowns, and help you make sense of all the chaos that is the fight game. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at MMAnomaly. Be cool, and we'll see you next time.